I would love to call you back just as soon as I can.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and well, the week is basically done, you know, the Monday through Friday, so I will not, don't plan to make a call over the weekend, and Monday will be Christmas Day. It'll be another Christmas that I'll celebrate without my family. Gee. This morning, I helped again in a different way. We use the elevator this time. Because I grabbed a bunch of this, well, it was packed, and I just carried the boxes of this lady, Lisa. She was going off to, shooting another lady who I'm really impressed with, because Tina Marie, she shows grace tremendously, remarkably well, and spends all her time doing it. She picked up Lisa and her stuff. So Lisa is gone to take her to a doctor, to stay with her at the doctor's office all day, if that's what it took, and then go to, perhaps take her to another facility for maybe longer care, or to the hospital for some more major work. But one of the things I found fascinating is there was Lisa, there was another gentleman, Eric, that over the last few days we've had some dialogues. He was not here last night. He left because he found an opportunity, and he went for it. And I unfortunately did not get to have a final conversation with him. But one of the things I thought about is there's a difference. Lisa has physical and mental issues that prevent her from being independent. Eric made some mistakes, had some issues and whatnot that caused some difficulties, and he's striving to bounce back. Most of the people that I saw in the last few days, they don't do a thing. It's just the life that they have. And it is amazing to me. You know, I'm spending, I used the joke, I have a 40-hour work day. And, you know, it was a long day today and a little exhausting, so I'm quitting. But it is interesting to see the difference. And I'm trying to think through this all, because How do you encourage people who don't want to be, who just want to be a leech? And I don't know. But what I saw in Tina Marie, the way she acted towards Lisa, there's a woman who has all sorts of, you know, she's the beggar at the side of the road. But unlike so many other people that I've seen here, she's loved. Seeing how this woman, people will go out of their way to take care of her. Why? I don't know. I wonder about that, because again, so many other people know that they won't. That's one thing. I had a dialogue today. Again, that took a lot of time, which a gentleman that I've was introduced to a while back, wrote an article, "Liberty Once Lost is Lost Forever," and I have the link to it. And I read it, and, you know, he's coming from a Christian perspective, but it's the issue of, because again, I was there in so many respects. The Christian country idea and looking to the Constitution and all those kind of things. I really think what's happened is we've taken the idea of separation of church and state and say, oh, yeah, okay, we have our relationship with Christ and we have a relationship with the state, and they're separate. No, they're not. No, our relationship is with Christ. The state is effectively just a tool. And it's not one we should be using for well, our advantage, which is one of his closing lines. But we went back and forth, and the dialogue got rather long. And one of the things I appreciate very much is there it was a serious dialogue. There was some clumsiness, but it was a serious dialogue. And in the process, one of the first things that, you know, because I use the 1 Samuel 8 idea that you know, asking for a king is rejection of the Lord, and or asking for a ruler, Basileia, ruler. And, you know, he said, you know, unlike biblical Israel, who chose a human king over God, America is not and never was a theocracy. Only Israel was ever a true theocracy. America could not reject God as king because God was never king over America. Thus, the principle doesn't apply directly to America. And I thought, wow! No, wrong. You know, again, it's I use the example later. You know, the 1 Samuel 8 applies to the atheist just as well. You know, you ask for a king, it's a rejection of God. Just because you're not a Christian, a follower of Christ, it doesn't mean it doesn't apply. Because the analogy I gave is if I don't subscribe to gravity, it still applies, right? I don't believe it's true. That's not my thing. Gravity's not my thing, but it still applies. I cannot undo its applicability to me. I cannot, as a Buddhist, an atheist, Muslim, whatever, I cannot say the Bible does not apply. I may not want to recognize it or not, don't recognize it, but it definitely applies because it is the one true foundation for all things, right and wrong. So it applies, very much so. I did also, in discussing the Roman 13, I did put in the link to my friend Henry's article on No One is Exempt, Romans 1 through 7 in context, which again was a great article. Then I also referenced why the follower of Christ should not endorse the country of Israel, because in there I make it clear that Israel, the word Israel, has multiple meanings, which I would suggest he did not use correctly in this. And of course, I also referred, made the mention of the Barnum Declaration video I did. Because, again, I think it is very applicable. Because, I use the Matthew 20, and which is quoted directly in the Barnum Declaration, as I described and described, and I went to the Genesis 1. And, he basically went on to say the Matthew 20 applies to the Christian community. And it's kind of like, so we treat Christians in a certain way, and the world in a different way. That's hard to find. There is the idea of there's a more intimate fellowship with the Christian community than there is with the world. But there's no idea that, I can't be an authority over another Christian, but I can be an authority over a Buddhist? No. Sorry, that doesn't work. We went on a lot of things that, and it split into two threads. So I did ask him, one of the things I found fascinating, I did ask him at one time, to give me, a single example of where, God gives, I said, show me one verse where the Lord gives man the authority over another man. And he responds with, Samuel said, is it not true, though you were little in mine eyes, you were made the head of the tribe of Israel, and the Lord appointed you king over Israel? Shall I provide more? Question mark. So he thinks, aha, gotcha, there's my one verse. And it's kind of like, I think you know well enough that my request to show one verse where the Lord gave man authority over another man is in the general context. Yes, as the Daniel verse mentions, the Lord sets up earthly kings. The 1 Samuel 15:17 example you use is the Lord setting up a king, not man. The question remains, where is the verse that gives man the authority? So again, the issue is, the Lord sets up kings. Man doesn't. And when we say king, it is, again, the idea of a ruler. It's not specifically the idea that it specifically applies to a monarch. No, that's not. It is, you know, again, the Greek is basileia. I don't remember the Hebrew. But it's the ruler idea. And, you know, when you switch from a monarchy, you know, to the oligarchy, where you have a group, or the democracy, where, you know, power is in the hands of the people. That's, you know, but still, the idea of a democracy is a twist, because again, it is not that the people decide everything collectively. It's they vote for, you know, what we do is we vote for a leader, or, you know, leaders, or, you know, the layered model. You know, that we see the examples often used is Exodus 18, you know, Jethro, where he gives that commanders 1,000, 100s, 50s, and 10s, but that is the advice of a pagan priest. It is not the command of God. So, you know, this layered system that we say, oh, we're trying to follow biblical principles. Well, again, if you're going to read in that as a command of God, then when Cain kills Abel, you should read in, oh, we can kill. It's the same idea. That's not what is happening. Cain killing Abel is the narrative that says what's happened. Jethro talking to Moses about setting his advice is a narrative. It's not a command of God. We have to be careful about that. But anyway, the thing that I'm most grateful of is willing to engage. Most of the people I know within the institutional church run. PCA elders especially. Jim Cross, Brenda Keynes, Chris Bitterman. One other thing, you know, a few days ago I mentioned, you know, my the one in, but in humility, because of that, the ad article and so forth about an Israeli company that said, here's, you know, planning for beachfront property and kind of, well, and, you know, the woman who did this, she's done some very, very, very serious stuff in Israel. Maria, I think is her name. But she interviewed the head of the company, the big real estate company there in Israel. What they have done over the years is, you know, they, especially in the West Bank, you know, again, the West Bank is on the eastern side of Israel, because it's the West Bank of the sea, not of the ocean, or not the ocean, the Mediterranean Sea. It's the, you know, Red Sea, or the Dead Sea, or whatever. But that area, they will go to somebody's house that's owned by a Palestinian, mow it down with a bulldozer, clean up the land, and build a house for Jews. It's been going on for years and years and years. And one of the companies that does that, that builds the houses, is this company. So what they did, and she interviewed him, and he said, well, it was a joke. It's a joke. I'm sorry, that's not funny. But if you look at the things, the interview, they say it's a joke. But listen to the attitudes of the people. They're dead serious. It is a problem. And again, it's what I see, what I've seen so much in, well, of late, the two things have been, well, actually, maybe there are three. The current thing is the country of Israel, the Zionists. You know, it's not being Jew, it's being a Zionist. And the Zionists look at others as beneath them. And they want their, you know, they want the entire area that's known as the country of Israel today. And, you know, the idea of greater Israel, I'm sure, will come up in time if they succeed, which is to grow even more. But you also saw that, obviously, with Ukraine, because it's those people are animals. And it's amazing to see. You see so many of the political leadership in Ukraine calling the people of Russian culture animals. You see a whole bunch of people in the political leadership of the Zionist entity, you know, the country of Israel, calling the Palestinians animals. Exact same wording. And you know, you can kill an animal. And they do. But there was another. There's another example. During the COVID fiasco, it's the idea of, oh, you're not wearing a mask, or you don't have a vaccine. You're a lesser human being. You're unloving. You're unsafe. It's the same thing. It really is. But anyway. I am grateful that I had a serious dialogue today. I leave you the link. It's all there. And, you know, even when we make mistakes, being willing to engage is, I would suggest, far more respectable than turning tail and run. Again, the same previously mentioned parties. I'm exhausted. My lady, my wife, I love you, and I ask for you back.